100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the studio for 19 or long, so me say.
Hey, 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 Digital Sister back. I hope you all had a great weekend and a relaxing weekend. I have so many things to talk about. But before I start with the podcast, I want to thank all of my listeners across the country. It's very exciting for me to see how Digital Sister, the podcast, is catching on. I have listeners in Colorado, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, North Carolina, New York, Seattle, San Francisco, Kansas, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and London, England, and Edmonton, Calgary, Canada. So I want to thank you for making the podcast truly international. And as a matter of fact, I know you're listening. I know I have some listeners out there. So go to my page there for Digital Sister and click on Become a Fan or View Shoutouts, because that way you can see maps of where the podcasts are, and send me a note and become a fan, because I would love hearing from you and I would love having some good dialogue. So again, thank you for listening, and keep listening so it grows and so everybody around the world is listening to Digital Sister. Let's move on. Now, Notorious B.I.G. has been dead since 1997, and yet he's still in the news. A couple of podcasts ago, I talked about how the family of the late rapper was awarded $1.1 million by the city because there was some conflicts and problems with the investigation. As it turned out, the family filed a lawsuit because they felt that the LA police were hiding some statements and information about the killings, because it had been linked to two LAPD officers, a David A. Mack and a Rafael Perez. They were ordered to pay, the city was ordered to pay the family, you know, this money, basically because of obstruction of justice. But as it turns out, there's always a little twist in these kinds of situations, because the city presented the judge with a 4-page investigative report, which was done back in November 2002 by a private investigator. And the report details an interview with a prison informant that the family had said it had not seen. And that's very interesting, because what the city of LA was saying is that this little piece of information indeed showed that they had it, that they had information. And so what has happened now is that the judge, U.S. District Judge Florence Marie Cooper, says she was deceived and basically has reversed the decision of the $1.1 million going to the Wallace family because of that. And it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. Will the family ever win the lawsuit? And remember that Notorious B.I.G. was killed in 1997, and the case still remains unsolved. So it will be very interesting to see what happens. Will this go away, or will the family try to bring back this wrongful death lawsuit? But very interesting. I'll keep you posted on what happens with that. You know, I'm always talking about Lil' Kim, but the other notorious female rapper out there is rapper Foxy Brown, whose real name is Inga Marshawn. Well, apparently, she was accused for assaulting two nail salon workers for overpayment of a manicure. And she's going to be going on trial in July. this charge. She's charged with misdemeanor assault in the August 29, 2004 incident where she allegedly kicked one of the nail salon workers and hit the other one in the face. Okay, if that's not bad enough, it gets back to the attitude. Now, when she came to court for her appearance in December, she was supposed to enter a guilty plea to misdemeanor, but the session was derailed when the judge, who was Judge Melissa Jackson, accused Foxy Brown of just being disrespectful and making faces at her. And the judge says, you know, she didn't like Foxy Brown's attitude. So apparently there was a little ruckus when Foxy was handcuffed during this little incident. She apparently shouted some unkind words at the female court officer and basically said some other things that her numerous bracelets were in the way of being handcuffed. So there was a little scuffle. And interestingly enough, the judge, who of course was sitting on her bench watching all this, basically gave Brown an ultimatum. She told Foxy, either you apologize or you serve up to 30 days in jail. Well, this was enough to make Foxy apologize, but she did not enter the plea as she was supposed to do. And the judge also felt that there's just too much attitude, that she's not accepting any of the blame for this situation. Well, this past Friday, Foxy had to appear before Manhattan Criminal Court Judge Gerald Harris, and apparently she did so without incident. She arrived two long ponytails, you know, brown knee-length high stiletto heels, and a clinging T-shirt with a tiger image. But she didn't act up, no attitude. So apparently her trial is set for July 17th, and the judge extended orders of protection to the two nail salon workers. Now, I just think that's pretty sad. I mean, Foxy just needs to get back into the studio and make some music. So it isn't just Lil' Kim and some of the guys who are difficult at best. You know, we have some other female rappers kind of projecting the same thing. You know, that street credibility thing, that street cred, you know, being tough, being obnoxious to a certain degree. But, you know, doing it in the wrong place, because I teach anger management and I tell my clients, when you're in court, you don't do a lot of those behaviors, because why? Judges are dangling your life, you know, on a string. And apparently Foxy forgot where she was and acted out, thinking that that was going to be cool, but the judge reminded her of where she was. Either you apologize or you go to jail. So that was enough to get Foxy to apologize. So I'm hoping that when she comes to trial in July, that again, she will think a little bit and put her best foot forward so that she can get a favorable sentence, if that's the case, or get probation or whatever. But just make it better for yourself with a better attitude. So I'm hoping that that is what she does. Let's move now to Beanie Siegel and the problem of so much violence in the cities today. He's 32. He's had his share of problems. He was released from federal prison after serving 12 months on a gun charge. He was acquitted of an attempted murder the following month. He's had legal troubles after failing to pay child support. And, you know, he's had his share of problems. But recently, you know, he was shot by someone. And the issue that I think that I've been bringing up in the podcast and that that seems to be in the news a lot, in particular news outlets, is it isn't the shooting is bad enough, but it's the fact that it really didn't make great news. People are just a little too complacent about the violence that's going on in some communities. For instance, in Philadelphia, in the first week of May, there were 383 shootings in Philadelphia, of which 313 were black men. That's a lot of people being killed. Okay, and then let's look at the counter statistic. During that same period, 106 homicides were recorded, leaving 86 black men dead. So it's really, I think, a sad situation that the violence is becoming just way too commonplace, and it's not getting us upset enough to look at why it's going on and to help get some of these guns out of the hands of people who don't need to have them in the communities. There's a DJ in Richmond, Mahogany Brown, on WBTJ-FM 106.5 The Beat, who is really speaking out about this, because she basically is saying that she hopes that Beanie will speak out against the violence and step up to the plate with that. But as I talked about in my previous podcast with Busta Rhymes, you know, he was present when he watched a friend and bodyguard get shot, but he's not talking. Again, same thing with Lil' Kim. She was there when there was a shooting outside that radio station in New York, but she's trying to say that she didn't know who was involved. So I think at some point, and I've said that in previous podcasts, people, you know, we've got to speak up and put an end to a lot of this senseless violence that is just really too commonplace. It's got to stop. It's got to stop somewhere. And with DJ Mahogany Brown, and what I'm saying too is that I hope that rappers now will turn the corner and move away from this violence and take a less nonchalant approach to it and start sending out the message that, you know, this kind of behavior is not cool and that our young people should not be trying to copy it. But again, you know, they're caught up in the economics, they're caught up in the street credibility, you know, wrongly or rightly, and the marketing hype, and not speaking out against it as they should. So I'm hoping that that's going to change, and I'm hoping that we stop losing so many people over really, really stupid things. It's just amazing to me. But on that vein, let's talk about an industry that has grown out of that. And I know some of you have seen it, but they're called memorial t-shirts. And they're memorializing people who've been, you know, gunned down senselessly. But I don't know, it's just, it kind of makes me a little queasy when I think about it, because someone was innovative enough to create a new industry based on this kind of tragedy. And yes, we should not forget those who were murdered and taken away from us, you know, senselessly. But isn't there another way that we can remember them? Isn't there another way that we can show that their lives mattered without necessarily glorifying this whole thing of the senseless death? And as one person said, you know, t-shirts are the billboards of pop culture. And if that's true, then we have a pop culture that is just too consumed with violence and too consumed with death and too consumed with, like, death is no big thing. I mean, that's what I said in one of my earlier podcasts when I reviewed 50 Cent's new movie, Get Rich, Die Trying. It blew me. I didn't think it was, you know, it was a good first effort. I didn't think it was going to shake the world up with Academy Awards. But the thing that blew me away in this movie was how easy it was, even though it was a film and it was characters and fiction to some degree, but how easy it was for them to kill somebody and take them out rather than just like having a conversation with them or just deciding not to do business with them or, you know, just to ignore them. You know, they would rather take them out and kill them. So I thought that was just a real reflection of what's going on today within the culture in some areas. It shouldn't be like that, and I hope that it changes because it's a marketing ploy. We've moved away from the old school, just good rap music, and we've moved to a whole new area where it's becoming a social problem. And we're losing the edge and just putting out good music and constantly being brought up with these violent situations. I like music. You know, I want to hear some of the old school stuff. I want to hear something more than just how you're going to take somebody out or calling someone a B and an H. You know, I want more from music. I want something that really touches my soul rather than just brags and is bodacious about who you think your persona is, you know. We got to move away from that and just get back to some real music. But speaking on that vein, in fact, there was an article in a paper that I found, and it's called Bring the Noise Back. And it's interesting because it's the whole situation that I'm kind of talking about, but it's Tommy Boy's founder, and his name is, let me just see if I can get his name correct. Yeah, Tom Silverman. He's the founder of the pioneering hip-hop label Tommy Boy, which was very popular back in the you know, late 80s and early 90s. I mean, everybody was on that label. Well, interestingly enough, when rap kind of hit the market in about 1979 with Rapper's Delight, you know, music was just coming out, and there was a lot of independence going on, and there were great labels like Tommy Boy and Def Jam that Russell Simmons started, and they were just breaking, you know, new good acts like LL Cool J and people like that. But the industry kind of changed in 1991. We started seeing the rise of the gangster rap, but what we also started seeing was that major labels were beginning to gobble up a lot of the independent labels that were really the innovators of bringing this great new music to the forefront. So it became very corporate, very conglomerate. And as a result, I think what's happened now, there's a big schism between the kids today and people like myself. So, you know, we're in our 40s. Who were there at the beginning of hip-hop, because the kids today think old school is Nas, Jay-Z, and Snoop. I mean, they're not even talking about Rapper's Delight or Big Daddy Kane or Tone Loc or, you know, people like that, LL Cool J for that matter. So there doesn't seem to be an appreciation of the history of hip-hop. But in any event, Tom Silverman is trying to change that. So what he's done is he's created a 12-volume hip-hop essential collection that brings in some of the old-school hip-hop where there was really good music, and he's trying to bring that back so people don't forget about it. It's very interesting that he found it was difficult for him to bring this to the forefront. It wasn't easy as he thought. He thought that there would be this great clamor for some of the older old school type of hip hop in today's market, but he found that to be difficult. In fact, I quote, this is what he said: "I was thinking we could sell 20,000 units per volume, but the numbers have been much smaller than that. Maybe kids today are just interested in what's happening now and have no sense of discovery about the past." And he thinks that's a shame. I think it's a shame. And what they don't realize is that a lot of the music that they're listening to has been sampled from the old school DJs and a lot of the old R&B artists. So there really isn't too much new today, just lots of samples of old R&B music. But it will be interesting to see how this pans out. And he had the idea that maybe because hip-hop basically has been ignored within, like, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the types of people that they honor with that great award. There haven't been, I don't think, any hip-hop artists that have been given that honor. So, interestingly enough, Tom Silverman is saying that perhaps it shouldn't be something that's trying to be lumped into the rock and roll type of music. Maybe there should be a whole new entity that looks at hip-hop. So it won't be lumped into to the rock and be overlooked. So in his view, Tom Silverman, and in my view to some degree, hip-hop is a very important new music that turned the world upside down. It's about 30 years old now. It's growing. It's changing. It's a very important musical genre. So I'm hoping that, and I may have to look for it myself, I may have to get that 12-volume Hip Hop Essential, because I'm sure it's going to have a lot of great music that I like, you know? But very interesting. Something else that's going on today. We have a lot of the artists out here. Chris Brown is the new Mr. It right now. He's 16 years old and doing some great things, and music's all over the place. But interestingly enough, we have lots of these great artists, but you don't get to hear them too much on tour, because there really aren't a whole lot of tours where you can see them, because of situations that have happened in the past, because of violence, or because, as, and I'm speaking, you know, as someone who loves hip-hop, a lot of the artists are just not performers. They're great in the studio with the electronics, but put them on stage, you know, they can't cut it. And I don't know about you, but if I go to a show, I just want to see an opening act and the main act. I don't want to see four or five hip-hop artists trotted out to sing their one hit, and then by the time the main artist comes on, you know, it's 1 o'clock at night. You know, that's insane. But that's the problem, I think, with hip-hop today. So there's a lot of underground and the mixtape type of situation, but I think you're going to be hard-pressed to actually see a tour where you can really see some great hip-hop artists. So that's kind of interesting to me. I picked up the copy of XXL, the collector's edition, and I thought, you know, it's kind of thin, you know, to be talking about hip-hop and what's going on. But interestingly enough, they have some pictures of some great artists, some great R&B artists, you know, Aretha Franklin, Marvin Gaye, James Brown, Curtis Mayfield, people like that. But if this is a hip-hop magazine, I'm just wondering, why aren't there any pictures of the earlier hip-hop artists, like the LL Cool J's, Big Daddy Kane, Tone Loc? What about Salt and Pepper? You know, what about people like that? What about MC Light? Things like that. I mean, I just thought, gee, it's a hip-hop magazine, but you're talking about R&B artists. So that's a little schism right there. But maybe it's not, because a lot of the rappers today are sampling the old R&B. But, you know, interesting. I had a chance to check out some of the music, and I'm going to talk to you about that when I come back. Just hearing some of the stuff that's going on today. You know, Bus has got a new slamming thing. I love my chick. T.I., he's the rapper out of Atlanta. He sampled Crystal Waters' Gypsy Woman, which was a big club hit back in the 90s. So it's very interesting. Ghostface, he's trying to kind of reinvent himself and keep himself relevant. A little bit too violent for me, but, you know, that's part of that street cred, I think. Then we have Lil Jon with E-40 with the hyphy. I kind of like that. So there's a lot of different genres out there. But again, these are just things to think about. We've got to get back to good music, and that's it. We've got to get away from the violence and all the marketing hype of being a thug and how cool it is to, you know, shoot and kill, that kind of stuff. Just get back to making good music like back in the day, where you could dance, You weren't calling people names. You weren't calling females, you know, horrible names. You weren't threatening people. You weren't talking about how tough you were, how you're going to take somebody out. Just get back to good music. That is what hip-hop needs right now. We've got to turn that wheel back 360 degrees and just get back to some good music, because we've gotten way off track. So my rappers out there, take heed to what I'm saying, take heed to what other people are saying, and just put out some good dance music, because that's what we all want to hear. So again, thank you for tuning in. Become a fan. Go to my page on iMaze Pod. Become a fan. View a shout out and take a look at where my podcast is being heard. And of course, you can always leave me an audio message at 206-309-7325. Well, I think I've bit your ear quite enough today, and this is a little longer than my usual podcast, but I had a lot of stuff to talk about. But I appreciate you listening, and tell your friends and pass the podcast around so we can get some good community going here, and I look forward to being back with you in a couple days. Have a great week. Digital Sister will be back. Take care.
The West Side.